Coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, this is Punk Brats, a podcast focused on the lives and experiences of our military brats. We didn't serve, we got served. Now here are your Punk Brats, Rose and Lisa.
Hey, it's Rose.
Hey, it's Lisa. Welcome to another episode of Punk Brats. Hey, Rose.
Hi, it's September.
Oh my gosh. So what's happening? It's September. What has happened? Where's time gone? Happened?
Well, I kind of feel like summer's almost officially over. I know it's not until what, the 21st or the 22nd of September that it's over, but
yeah,
since school is, you know, in full swing, I kind of feel like it's over for me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it's still really hot here, you know, in Central Texas. It's still really hot. So
no, it really is. So Mom and I celebrated our birthdays together, and I went to the coast with them, and I got our mother, who turned 75, on a jet ski.
I saw those videos. That was fantastic.
So I just wanted all y'all to hear out there that we have a very brave mom. She wouldn't ride with me. I said, "You want to ride with me or Chris?" And she immediately said, "Chris."
I was going to ask you about that, because when I saw the videos, I was like, why is she on the back of the jet ski with Chris and not Lisa?
And then this is what's so funny, because so I lagged behind. Okay. So they were in front of me because I wanted to make sure, you know, in case mom falls off or something.
Right.
And I was like, well, I'm going to lag behind so I can at least go fast for a little while before I catch up to him. Next thing you know, I lost them. They took off. And then Chris said, Mom looked behind and said, like, where's Lisa?
Was she screaming? Like, I couldn't hear the sound.
She loved it. She had a great time. And the dolphins came and swam right up next to us. So just I'm grateful to celebrate the same day as Mom. And it was very special. We had a good time. Dad's the only one who caught a fish. He caught like this little perch.
That is so
cool. None of us caught anything, but he did. But anyway, so what's happening in September, Rose?
Well, as you know, for my Did You Know this month, it's really more of a request for people to maybe if they get an opportunity to visit the 9/11 Memorial and Museum in New York City. And as you know, it honors the nearly 3,000 people killed in the terrorist attacks of September 11, 2001, and also February 26, 1993. They recognize the courage of those who survived and also saluting those who risked their lives to help others. So if you get a chance and you're in New York City, go and visit it. I went there and it was an experience I can't really describe.
So, yeah, speaking of New York City, you know, other than 9/11 happening, you know, we also had Benghazi happen, remember? Yeah. So we also need to recognize Benghazi. But speaking of New York City and 9/11 and all that, you know, we were raised by a New York dad. And hello? Anybody out there?
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, special guest.
Hello. Hello, Punk Brats.
We have the creator of Punk Brats.
Yeah, we have Punk Dad. Yep. Hi, Dad. No. Welcome. We got you on our episode. Yay. Finally.
Well, you wanted me here, and eventually I had to give in.
I know. Wow. He did not. We had to twist his arm to get on this episode.
Yeah, and we wanted him on this special episode because our father's from New York City. We'll let him tell you a little bit about himself, where he was born. His dad, tell everybody where you were born and how you came about to joining the Army.
Okay, I was born in New York City, like Lisa said, at Bellevue Hospital. I was born on March 4, 1949. And just a New York brat. they call themselves brat. I'm a real New York brat. Or,
like, right. The kind of kids you see on TV that play stickball, like in the streets and the fire hydrant
exactly.
Water's going up.
I was raised in mid-Manhattan. Between 32nd, 2nd, and 3rd Avenue. So you all heard the joke, Doity Doit and 3rd. I actually lived that area and stuff. Went to school there, public school, PS 116. Three buildings down from where I lived. Went to junior high school in mid-Manhattan over in, what was it? I think it was 21st Street between 1st and 2nd Avenue. And then went to high school at Charles Evan Hughes in Greenwich Village.
Oh, wow. Very cool.
We lived there, like I said, mid-Manhattan, downtown there for a while. And then eventually we moved up to, while I was in high school, we moved to Hell's Kitchen, 49th and 10th Avenue. So I lived in Hell's Kitchen for a little bit. And from there, after high school, I immediately, at the age of 17, joined the U.S. Army. And thought I was going to go in for 3 years. The getaway from all the New York hassle, all the my friends were getting into trouble, and I didn't want to go that route.
This was the late 60s, right?
This was the late 60s. Mm-hmm. I actually joined July 11, 1966.
Okay.
Was scheduled to go to Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn. From there, we were supposed to go to Fort Dix for basic training. And while we were at Fort Hamilton, there were several hundred of us. There were, I think, about three of us that were called RA, regular Army, means we joined. The rest were a bunch of draftees. And of course, being 17-year-old, I was just a little old teenager. I weighed about 90 pounds, 5'2". And here was all these older guys and everything. Well, while we're waiting to be shipped out to Fort Dix, they get a notice that saying that Fort Dix had closed down. They were overbooked. And so they said, guess we got good news for you guys. You're not going to Fort Dix. You're going to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Oh. And back then, we didn't have cell phones or any of that. So there was like a few payphones, and everybody's scrambling. They get to the payphone to tell their families, hey, I'm not going to Fort Dix. I'm going to Fort Jackson in South Carolina. So anyway, they put us on buses. We went to Penn Station and got on a troop train. And from the troop train, they took us down to Fort Jackson. We had one stop in the D.C. area. And while we were stopped in the D.C. area, I met up with these two guys, and we went for a walk. Well, when we got back from our walk, the train left. So, we first day in the Army, here I was, AWOL.
Oh my God, Dad.
Yeah, leave. Oh my God. So we found somebody who looked like he knew what he was doing and said, hey, we missed our train. And he said, oh, it's okay, come with me. And we had a little jail there at the station for the military. And guess what?
That's where we
went. Went to the jail.
Dad ended up in jail, but anyway, not for bad reasons though. That's a funny story, Dad. So after you made it to where you needed to go, then what? What was your career after that?
Then I went to Korea, met your mom, got married, and then I finished my military career in military intelligence. After 26 years, I retired.
Thank you for your service, Dad.
Thank you.
So yeah, our dad's the coolest. You guys remember that very first episode with Scott Parks, episode one for the Punk Brats. We talk about going to Metallica and bringing them back to our military base to see the Super Bowl. Giants versus the Broncos, right, Rose?
Yeah.
That would not have happened unless our dad made that happen. We called him. He made the phone calls. And Dad, all these years later, thank you so much for being the coolest dad ever.
I kind of just want to bring it back because we were talking about New York and Dad's significance, you know, the significance of Dad coming from New York and this being the month of September. Dad, what were you doing? And Lisa, I'm curious, you too, maybe we can share what we were doing on 9/11 when we first heard the news, because it is everybody kind of knows where they were, what they were doing.
Oh yeah.
And I'll go ahead and start. Like for me, I was asleep. So my friend from Japan,
were in California.
Yeah, we were in California. And so my friend from Japan called me on the phone and woke me up and said, hey, there's been an attack. And I heard her, and then I didn't really think it was that serious. Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't say attack. She just said a plane flew into one of the, you know, World Trade Centers. So I just went back to sleep, actually.
Okay. So for me, I'm in Texas. I'm 2 hours ahead of you guys. I called Dad and woke Dad up and said, Dad, a plane hit the tower. And Dad goes, oh, that happens a lot. Little Cessnas, they've been known to hit the, you know, like tip the, I go, no, Dad. And while I'm talking to Dad, the second plane hits, I go, Dad, it's a terrorist attack. It's a terrorist attack. And Dad's like, what? And then Dad hangs up. And then you know what? When I try to call Dad back like 3 hours later, 4 hours later, busy mm-hmm. signal, and I could not get through to California.
Wow, I didn't know that.
I broke the news to Dad.
I did not know that.
Yes, wow. Yes, he did.
Okay, wow.
Creepy.
Yeah, that is.
So, Dad, how were you affected by this whole thing with you growing up seeing the towers all your life?
Well, it was, first of all, like a lot of other Americans, I broke down in tears and stuff. And then I went to work, and everybody was in shock over there, and nobody knew what to do. So I basically took charge, and because the boss hadn't come in yet, and I got everybody, and we went into the conference room, and I tried to explain to them, being the military guy that I was, that this was an attack on the U.S., and that we had to pray and hope that everything went well and stuff like that. So basically, that was what happened initially for us, because nobody knew what was going on and stuff yeah. like that. So
scary.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, it was.
Well, I mean, like Rose, you and I growing up going to the Empire State Building and the towers when Dad would take us to New York City growing up, you know, and
yeah.
And now they're just pictures and memories for us and stories.
I know. I have the pictures of me inside yeah. the towers looking out. I have yeah. the pictures of me standing in New York with the towers in the background.
Well, so. You know, I'm proud to be New Yorker, you know, I mean, that New Yorker in us from Dad. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about something more positive about New York. So Dad, what do you miss most about New York? Like the
pizza.
Food, the culture, the pizza.
I knew he was going to say pizza. I just knew it.
Yeah. Our dad lives in Texas with us, so there's no New York pizza here.
The pizza. Nah, I missed the camaraderie when I was a kid in New York City growing up there. It was a whole different ball game today than when I was growing up. The neighborhood I grew up with were 2-3-story buildings. That neighborhood is nothing but skyscrapers now. All those little buildings were torn down. Used to play stickball on the block there, roller skate. We had scooters made with a milk carton and a piece of 2x4 with a roller skate on one end and the other, and things like that. So, and
cool. Life was so innocent back then.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Dad, you know what? We owe it to you. You gave us the life that we had. We would not have seen the world unless you made that one important decision that one day to join the Army, you know,
and don't forget your mother.
Well, our mother too. I mean, yeah, Mom is definitely the rock, you know, but I'm just saying right now, we're just highlighting you. We're going to get Mom on here. We actually had someone on our social media on Facebook ask us to interview Mom. So we'll get her on here one way or another. Anything you want to say about the military family, Dad? Like about the military kids and military spouse? Like, I mean, from a veteran's point of view?
Well, it's a whole different ballgame when you're in the military with families and stuff compared to the civilian life. Mm-hmm. It's that everybody's looking out for each other in the military, and stuff. There's respect and that everybody has for each other. And I don't see that in the civilian life. It's more like a cutthroat type program here with the civilians versus the military upbringing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and plus, you know that due to my security clearance, if you guys did something bad, it reflected on me. And that was not good. But fortunately, you guys were real good growing up. So I was blessed. So,
you mean we didn't get caught?
Thank you.
Right. We didn't get caught.
But I don't want to hear those stories.
And we made curfew. You know what? All the way through college, you guys, even living in Germany, even though, you know, you're an adult there when you're 16, when we came home for college, our curfew was still midnight. Still midnight. And Dad was awake. We had just knocked on the door, remember? Just to let him know we were home. Midnight, mm-hmm. not 12:01, midnight. Mm-hmm. So, well, Dad, we could talk to you all day, but unfortunately, we got to let you go, but we got our dad on the show.
Yes. Thank you for joining us, Dad. This is really
special. Thank you. Thank you for having me. It was enjoyable. You guys have a good thing going here, a good program. Dad. You're bringing a lot of information to not only brass, but to also to veterans, which is much appreciated.
Oh, thank you.
We love you. And Dad, you know what? As brats, I know you're not a military brat, but we never say goodbye. We always say see you later. So we'll see you later.
See you later, alligator.
See you later. Love you. Love you.
Love y'all.
That was a great interview with Dad. We finally got him on here.
I know. That was really cool. He's like a natural.
Right?
It's I know he's probably nervous, but...
Well, we'll have to get him on here again. But hey, you guys. Yeah, who's coming up?
Well, this month we interview Mark McKinney, who shares about moving 21 times with his infamous drug dealing parents.
Ooh.
So
ooh, that sounds fun.
Whenever you're ready to bring Mark on,
let's bring him out. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Punk Brats. I'm Lisa.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi, Mark. It's Rose.
Hey, Rose. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
We really appreciate you joining us today. I know you're a very busy person. But anyway, I got you on an episode of Punk Brats. So,
yeah, I am super excited to speak to you. Lisa kind of filled me in a little bit about your background. And I was like, oh, I cannot wait. Cannot wait to talk to you. I know you've got a pretty exciting story, but like we start with all our guests, I start by asking the question, where are you from? Or basically, how do you answer that question? Where are you from? And can you tell us a little bit of how it makes you feel? Because I know some people are anxious when they hear that question. Some people, it's like, no big deal. So I'm always curious with each of our guests. So I'm going to ask you, where are you from? How does it make you feel when people ask you where you're from?
Generally, my answer to that is, I'm from kind of all over Texas, really.
Okay.
And you know, a lot of people would follow up with, oh, are you military brat? Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, for the longest time, just kind of go something like that. you know, because, you know, there was a whole lot of moving around, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, born on an Air Force base, Bossier City, Louisiana.
Okay.
I'm probably the shortest term punk brat that you guys have had on the show. It's just a matter of 6 months after I was born.
So okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but your father was in the Air Force, and then when you were 6 months old, he got out.
Correct.
Okay, but you know, you're still a brat, because it doesn't matter if you were 1 month, 2 months, or 25 years, whatever.
I love you. You know, we didn't serve, but we got served.
Yes. What's interesting about it is a lot of brats, even when their sponsor gets out of the service, you know, then they have something a little more stable. They might, you know, place roots somewhere. But you continue to live that life of being nomadic, like a lot of us brats, but for a different reason. Would you like to kind of give us a little background about that?
Yeah, sure. We moved around a lot. An average of like, probably twice a year. And basically what it was my parents' career post-military was recreational narcotic distribution. They were drug dealers. And so as soon as we felt like there was a little too much heat, local law enforcement had figured out who we were, where we lived, what we were doing. It was time to load up the moving van and go somewhere else. So by the time I made it to college, that was my 21st school. So.
Wow. Rose, I thought 7 or 8 for us was a lot, but could you imagine moving twice? I mean, so Mark, you're in elementary school is different, right? Cause you're kind of a young kid. You know, we moved, it was different. It was middle school that affected me when I had to move, because if I had a boyfriend or if I had I was part of something, or I was part of a, you know, an activity or a group. I mean, how did you deal with middle school and high school having to move so many times?
Well, by the time I got to those upper years of childhood, I had gotten used to moving so much that I never even really thought about making long-term connections. I never really considered having a girlfriend or anything like that, just because, you know, everybody's temporary. And right. And really, that's something that, you know, I'm creeping up on 50 now, and I'm still struggling with how to maintain long-term relationships, things like that. So it definitely had a pivotal role in my upbringing and how I relate to other people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very similar to military brats who travel around a lot. So how old were you when you found out your parents were involved in these activities?
I was really, really young. It's one of those things that as far back as I can remember, I knew. Wow. Yeah, if there was about 7 or 8 years before my dad passed, he confessed to me over Christmas. He said, the minute that I realized how smart you were about 4 or 5 years old, and you were telling the other dealer's kids how to not talk about it. Basically, how to not snitch, how to not.
Wow.
Right? Because if you would have snitched on your parents, you would have been taken away. So you kind of learn real fast, like, just gotta keep quiet.
You learn what to talk about, you learn what to not talk about. And, you know, it was the deep, dark family secret for my entire childhood. And it wasn't until I was probably in my mid-20s and I had a group of friends from college that I'd brought home, and dad was so nonchalant about the entire story and just unloaded on all of them. But I was like, oh, I guess we can talk about this now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Statute of limitations was up or something. I don't know.
Oh, wow. So did you guys live an extravagant lifestyle? I mean, I guess, or maybe not, to not bring attention to yourselves, or like, were you driving a fancy car? Were they driving fancy cars? Did you live in fancy homes?
No, they always kept everything under the radar. Now, as far as, you know, me and my younger siblings, because I'm the oldest, we didn't want for anything. I can literally, there's only one toy that I can think of in my entire childhood that I wanted that I didn't get. And it was the USS flag. It was the G.I. Joe aircraft carrier. I think a lot of people can relate to that one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That was smart on your parents' part, though. I mean, they were, you know, I mean, just because of what they did, I mean, they obviously put you guys first and your safety, you know, and so. I don't even know what to ask next, because I'm just fascinated.
I have like 10,000 questions and I can't get one out. Just because I'm still a little bit
I'm fascinated.
So different to me. Like, I've never met anyone who was, I don't even know how many degrees of separation from a person who dealt drugs.
Yeah. Mark, what did you call it? What was the title that you gave your parents?
Oh, I just kind of pulled something out.
The fancy one. recreational.
Pharmaceutical distribution or something like that. I don't know.
Yes.
So I'm going to get pretty personal here and very invasive as far as my question, but what did they deal? What was their product of choice?
Everything. A little bit of everything. I mean, it was the 80s. So, you know, there was, quite all like the designer drugs that we have nowadays.
Yeah. I get what you're saying. You don't need to name them, but I get it. The 80s list.
Marijuana. There was.
Why are we all laughing?
I think because it's still so unbelievable.
I know, right? But, you know, Mark, I mean, I we're here to also talk about your successes too. And so, you know, I mean, what did you learn from moving around so much and knowing what your parents did? I mean, how did it affect how you made your choices in life?
Well, I mean, I knew that I didn't want to do anything illegal. But I also knew that I wanted to be successful, like that. So You know, I focused on education, pretty good students. I didn't apply myself quite as much as I probably could have or should have. Ended up going to college, got into a career in sales, and I've done pretty well for myself since then.
Yeah, you have. Well, what about your siblings? Can you say the same for your siblings? How did it?
They were a lot younger. My younger sister kind of knew a little bit. She was 8 years younger than me. So she would have been like 3 or 4 when they gave up the business. They hit the age of early 30s and dad got arrested. They eventually planted some stuff on him to get him. So as careful as you think you can be in that industry, they can find a way.
Wow. Especially with the invention of technology as it gets more and more sophisticated.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I'm sure.
Well, this was back before everybody had cell phones. So he was gone for about 5 weeks before we figured out where he was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Where's dad?
Literally, like he didn't come home from work one day and
he's on a business trip.
We're making phone calls to everybody we know. Nobody seems to know where he was at. And basically he'd gone out to, one of our business associates had some land outside of Fort Worth, and we would go out there to target practice and just shoot guns and stuff like that. And he'd gone out there, and after a day of pew-pew and fun, they were sitting there waiting by the car up by the road.
Wow. So how did your father transition into this lifestyle from going from military to this?
I think it was just kind of as a source of income. You know, I know he did drugs recreationally while he was in the military, but I don't think it was anything that he did for money until he was out of the military. And then it just seemed to be, you know, I think like a lot of people, I think it was a means to kind of supply their own recreational use. And then it just grew and grew and grew from there. And it got pretty big.
As you were growing up and you were dealing with this, how did you deal like with the stress and kind of like the uncertainty of, you know, kind of living in that environment? Did you ever tell any of your friends, or was it just?
Oh, no, none of my friends knew. None of my teachers knew. Nobody knew. And you know, it wasn't even really stressful because when you grow up in an environment your entire life, you just think of that as normal.
Right.
And so it was my normal. Like I didn't really consider that there was a huge issue until dad got arrested. And then I realized like, okay, we're at the point now where, you know, we have to be extra careful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And your mom, I mean, obviously she supported him and they were partners in crime in a sense, right? I mean, she supported what he did, and you have to have the support of your spouse or significant other and partner because.
Yeah. Was your mom also involved in the dealing part, or was she just
low key?
I think I've come to learn that she was actually more of the brains of the operation than dad was.
Oh, okay. Mm. Wow.
Growing up, I always thought it was the other way around. Uh-huh. And I think it's because whenever they did fight and argue, it was usually about, you know, freebies they were giving away or she was giving away.
Samples.
Right. Yeah. And that it was happening too often, and that, you know, there was more use than selling. So like, so whenever they fought, it was dad getting on to her for, you know, not having more business. Yes.
Did they do drugs themselves, or were they just like,
said recreational, right?
They absolutely did drugs themselves.
Did anybody else in your family know, or was it just your immediate family, like your little circle?
I think that my dad's parents knew.
Okay.
They kept everything pretty hush hush. Okay. I think a big part of the why they got into that was kind of rebelling against my grandfather and his ideals The reason that my dad joined the Air Force in the first place, because he idolized his dad, okay. who was a pilot too. He wanted to be a pilot. He didn't have the vision for it. So he ended up being an aircraft mechanic during his term. He did not discover until after he was, I think, a year in, and when he was getting married to my mom, that his mom was not his mom.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
In fact, I didn't find out until I was in my mid-teens that my meemaw was not a biological grandma.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what did you call your grandma?
Meemaw.
Meemaw. That's cute. Yeah, how did you take that news?
I was very confused. They always held that projection of that ideal, couple from that time period, from that boomer generation. I think everybody kind of deals with the moment they realize that their parents aren't heroes in a different way. You know, for me, it was early on because I knew, my parents do bad things. Mm-hmm. My dad was an adult before he had that epiphany, and he did not respond and react appropriately, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I'm kind of curious about your, you're a successful adult, living your life, law enforcement. I have a great respect for police. When you were growing up, were you, how did you see police? Did you see them as, did you see them as not enemies, but like not friendly, or we avoid police, or,
Well, we knew, that they're there to help you. You know that they're there, for a beneficial purpose, but you also know that part of that beneficial purpose is to do things detrimental to your parents. Mm-hmm. Because I was a pretty smart kid, that if something happened and they got caught, it's because they knew they were doing something wrong. We all understood right and wrong. We just choose which part of the gray in that scale that we live in. Mm-hmm. And, I've got a huge respect for law enforcement. I've had fundraisers with our local, Kyle Law Enforcement Association, mm-hmm. Being involved in my community, things like that.
Yeah.
I probably know half of our local police force. Mm-hmm. And most of the people that meet me would be shocked at my upbringing, because whenever I do get to the point where I tell people, the response is usually along the lines of, but you're so normal.
What was your day-to-day life like?
I was kind of a loner for a long, long, long time, just because, living out of boxes, moving every few years. And, I did spend, seventh grade on in the same town. So I was at least, kind of around some of the same people at that point. But, for the most part, would just go home, keep to myself.
Did your mom cook dinner? Did you guys sit around the table and eat together? Did you go shopping? Did you have your grocery store, go with your mom and dad to the grocery store and, family stuff?
She was a work from home mom, entrepreneur. And so, she didn't join the workforce until I was, freshman in high school. And it's only because she got bored because, even my youngest brother, he'd been in school and she just needed something to do during the day. Wasn't there be a mom? But yeah, we would go grocery shopping. We did everything that, normal people do. Dad had a straight job kind of as a cover and he worked nights. So I saw him on the weekend, basically. That was pretty much it.
So did your dad continue this profession until he passed away, or did he eventually stop, or did it just stop one day?
after he got arrested, that got him to thinking, and they actually split up for a couple months.
Okay.
Me and mom and my little sister moved in with my grandparents, her parents. She was pregnant at the time with my youngest brother, and dad was adamant that he was going to figure out, you know, how to maintain the lifestyle. And then he kind of wised up and realized, you know, I'm in my early 30s. What am I doing? Like, there's no retirement plan in this. There's, you know, right. I'm either going to, you know, go back to jail, spend some actual time in prison. He was lucky he avoided prison the first time.
Mm-hmm. So he went for 5 weeks, you said? He was in jail for 5 weeks?
Yes.
And he's only been arrested one time?
He'd been arrested one time, and it cost us a lot of money, but we got him time served. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he ended up joining us at my grandparents'. We lived there for almost a year.
Okay.
Well, and of course, at that point, he's
a convicted felon, so he has to put that on all of his job applications. He had a hard time finding work. Mm-hmm. I had to start literally back over in his 30s, making a minimum wage job.
Yeah.
You know, living with parents and trying to support a family. And you know, eventually, you know, proved himself to society and all that, that, you know, he could handle the responsibility and mm-hmm. ended up getting a good job. But it took him a couple of years.
Well, you said, you had mentioned earlier that he came out with a confession to you. What sparked that? Did it just come up like all of a sudden? Was it something that you guys just never talked about? Like it happened yeah. and then like no one mentioned, oh yeah, I remember when dad used to be a drug dealer, you know, I mean, or did he just like one day, hey, I want to tell you this. Was it to like clear his soul? What was it that?
Well, I guess talking about whenever I had my friends from college that came to visit.
Yeah. Does it just like I mean, that would be so surprising. I can't imagine me bringing home friends and my mom or dad just saying, hey, by the way, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, wait, what are you saying?
Yeah.
I'm sure yeah. some of my friends, because, you know, when you're growing up, like, you don't want to do the things that your parents did. So you want to be right. different.
Of course.
So, you know, I'm not going to say I never tried drugs, but it just was not my thing.
Uh-huh.
But my friends, I had a lot of friends that, you know, looked at things a little bit differently. And, you know, right. I'm sure they thought that, you know, because of how straight I was, uh-huh. they probably thought my parents were even more boring than me.
Right.
And so I'm sure they were saying something and he picked up on some lingo and he was like, you guys know that I know what you're talking about, right? And kind of led into, you know, telling the whole story. And they ended up staring almost as much at me as they did at him by the end of the story.
Wow. They're probably like, did you know this?
I was like, yeah.
You know, some of your friends said, man, Mark, your dad and mom are cool.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow, Mark, you had a really, you know, we want to, the punk brats, we want to interview notable brats, you know, someone with a unique story, not a boring story. And I feel like all of our guests all have had such amazing, unique stories. And again, this is probably one of my favorite interviews because I actually get to ask you questions of like, I mean, like, you know, I'm watching a show, a movie, Sons of Anarchy. I'm trying to think of one show.
Yeah, your life is not like, like a lifetime story. Like they could make a movie out of it. Legit. Like it could legit be a movie.
Have you thought about writing a memoir about your life and about your dad, you know, doing a screenplay or something?
I never really thought of myself as being that interesting. When you asked me to come on the show, I was like, what? Why? But I guess maybe there is a story to tell there.
Well, I mean, not everybody's parents did what yours did.
And have children that turned out normal.
Right. You're a successful, you're a success. That's the whole point is you went from military brat to drug brat to successful businessman and community leader. I mean, you're a success story. You're a notable brat.
Thank you.
You're welcome. But guess what? it's time for the lightning round. Get ready.
Okay, Mark, I'm just going to ask you a series of questions, just some rapid fire questions. If you could just answer them like in as simple as possible. And if you don't feel comfortable answering something, or you just don't know or can't think of an answer right away, you can just say pass and we can come back to it. And then just we just make fun of you. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. So anyway, okay. Number one, what's one word that describes your childhood?
Oh, chaotic. I'd have to say chaotic.
Okay, good one. Okay, what was your favorite subject in school?
Science.
What was the last song you listened to?
Oh. Pass, I'll have to think back.
Okay.
I listen to music all the time, so I just...
That one seems to stump a lot of people for some reason.
Think of what song it was.
Okay. If you could have dinner with any historical figure, dead or alive, who would it be?
George S. Patton.
Cool. So if you could instantly become an expert in something ridiculously trivial, what would it be?
Oh.
Yeah.
Particle physics.
Ooh, cool. If you had to wear one outfit for the rest of your life, what would it be?
I'm probably going to regret this, but I'm going to say a suit.
Because a suit.
I get so many compliments in my suits.
Okay. what's one thing you wish you could tell your younger self?
That it's all going to be okay. Oh. That we actually, you know, I live a life now that I dreamt of as a kid. So, okay.
Love it. What's a hobby or interest you have that might surprise people?
I am a fan of Premier League soccer.
Okay, cool. Do you watch Ted Lasso?
Oh, I love Ted Lasso.
Okay. What's a fashion trend you've rocked that you now look back on and laugh?
And I want to see a picture.
Do you guys remember rolling up the bottom of your jeans?
Oh, yes. Cuffing them?
That was the dumbest thing ever. What? That was cool.
I don't know. I did it too.
I did.
Okay. And finally, what is your favorite movie genre?
Oh, movie genre? I'm going to have to say mobster movies.
Ah, cool. Did you want to go back to the last song? Did you want to go back to the last song you listened to?
I really do not remember what the last song I listened to was.
Oh, okay.
What are your hopes for the future? Like both for yourself and, you know, just
in general?
What's future? Yeah.
I do have aspirations of a political career.
Okay.
I know we don't talk politics on the show.
No, but you can talk. I mean, we don't talk politics, but you can say what you want to do. You want to get politically involved in your community.
Yeah, I'm actually in a couple of days, I'm going to file for to run for city council. But ultimately, I want to be a congressman.
Nice. I want to run for-
Awesome. We'll have to keep track of you.
Is there anything, we're wrapping up here soon, is there anything that you'd like to share with our audience about yourself or plug anything, anyone?
You know, I've listened to a couple of the shows, and you always give everybody opportunity to plug something. And I really don't have anything that I want to plug right now.
You can plug the Punk Brats. Now say that really fast. Plug the Punk Brats. Say it, Rose.
Whenever I decide to run for Congress, they'll dig this back up, and it'll have to probably answer some questions.
But you know, I think would probably score you a whole lot of people who would appreciate it. Number one, you're just being so upfront about it. Number two, casually talking about it, you know, owning it, learning from it, and from that experience going on to becoming an upstanding member of your community. I mean, gosh, I think that's amazing. If I were you, I would use this and advertise it. You know,
well, we're talking to Mark McKinney. Mark McKinney, y'all. Yes. M-A-R-C.
That's right.
Not a K, a C. So, okay, well, Mark, you are such a fun guest for us. Seriously, I wish we had more time because I'm looking back at our notes and there's still so many more questions I want to ask you. So I just feel like we're going to have to bring you back one day. Finish this up.
I'll be more than happy to do a follow up.
I want to see your movie. You know, you can loosely base it on your life. You know, it doesn't have to be your entire life. You just loosely base it on your life.
I'd watch All it right. for sure.
Well, Rose, you want to close us out?
Well, yeah, we're at the part of our show where we, you know, we don't say goodbye as military brats because, you know, we eventually run into each other again somewhere, somehow. So we always say, see you later. So see you later, Mark.
Right, see you later, Mark.
Wow. That was really interesting.
Could you imagine?
No, I can't. I'm still like kind of in shock, actually. I find it fascinating because usually when your parents get out of the military, you think, oh, some stability. But his got ramped up.
Totally. Like he went from military Air Force brat to being on the run and moving 21 times, sometimes twice a year. So his parents wouldn't be in the same place at the same time always. Mm-hmm. But you know what? He's a successful community leader, businessman. Mm-hmm. Good for you, Mark. Mm-hmm. Thanks for sharing your very personal story. Yeah, right on. So, mm-hmm. Hey, speaking of sharing and all that, if y'all want to get in touch with us punk brats, Rose and Lisa, email us at info@punkbrats.com. Our website is www.punkbrats.com. We'd love to hear your stories. Stay tuned because we always have a phone call after our episodes, 512-254-5989. We're on social media, Instagram and YouTube, we're Punk Brats USA, and Facebook, we're Punk Brats. Woo, got that out again, Rose.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
This was really cool.
Great episode always. Looking forward to the guests coming up. We got some great guests coming up, y'all. Go to our website to keep up. All right. Well, I love you, Rose. And thanks for being a punk brat with me and doing this. I always have fun.
Yeah, I love you too.
All right, Lisa, see you later.
Punk brat. What's going on? My name is Andrew. I'm calling from Los Angeles, California. First time caller, long time listener. I just wanted to ask this question. So how would you finish this question? You know you were raised as a military brat when... All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.